apologies. It's a heated tension here. It's a heated moment. There are political challenges inside Washington, D.C. right now. But at the end of the day, President Trump supporters were told by President Trump to take to the streets, to bring their anger to the U.S. Capitol building. And that's what we saw happen today.
Reggie, we want you to be safe, Reggie, obviously. So if there is something happening around you, we are okay to stand down on this interview.
Who do you represent? Who do you represent?
Sir.
This is something.
Guys, I do apologize. I do apologize for this right now.
No, no worries.
Sir, we are a Canadian network.
We're hearing something as it happened live on air January 6th, 2021. This is the sound of a live broadcast on the news on Global TV in Toronto during the insurrection in Washington, D.C. There were other incidents like this. Broadcast news reporters confronted, interrupted, intimidated by protesters, stirred into a frenzy by someone who refused to accept he had lost an election. In several cases, broadcast equipment was stolen and destroyed. But reporters will always find a way. They'll always say, "Get me on the air." I'm Paul Cross. This is Crosstalk, Media History, Commentary, and Analysis, Season 6, Episode 7. What happened in the capital of the United States on January 6th of 2021 is part of history now. The criminal cases and the investigations by the Select Committee of the U.S. House of Representatives, Department of Justice, and other bodies are far from over. But with the first anniversary of the attack on the U.S. Capitol just passed, it's worth listening to witnesses to the events, including news reporters. The reporter being confronted by protesters in a live hit being sent back to Global TV in Toronto is Reggie Cecchini. He's a former student, a graduate of the radio broadcasting program at Humber College. There's no such thing as a typical day covering the news in Washington, Reggie tells me. But on January 6th, when he thought he and his Global News colleagues would be covering routine events leading to the transfer of power, there were early signs in the streets of Washington that something unusual was going on.
I remember I was standing out on the street. I was producing the hits for my colleague Jackson, and I saw a gentleman walk down the street with a group of people behind him. He had an IFB earpiece in, he had a flak jacket on. And I thought to myself, why is the National Guard just walking people across the street to the Capitol? And in the hours later, I would realize that it was a member of the Proud Boys who was leading a group of Donald Trump supporters towards the Ellipse, where the events that the speech that Trump was giving was going to take place. And you could sense that something was different. During that time, there were a lot of Trump flags. There was a lot of Trump supporters. DC is a very democratic city. So when you see that, it's, you know, it kind of sparks a little bit of, hey, what's going on around here? And I remember being upstairs. I had voiced two stories about the electoral count and basically kind of using them as beggars, as this is what it's going to be like. And I heard Jackson say, they're inside the U.S. Capitol, or they're inside the Capitol building. And I thought, what do you mean they're inside? Of course they're inside. They're counting the votes. And I realized he meant that the people who were at the Ellipse for the rally had made their way to the U.S. Capitol and realized that whatever we thought was going to be a typical news day was out the window. And the 4 or 5 hours that followed after that were some of the most intense and disturbing moments that I've ever experienced in my career.
Reggie Cecchini tells the story. After calling back to their national newsroom in Vancouver, the crew makes their way into the streets with gas masks and other protective gear.
And we made our way to the east front of the Capitol, a couple of hundred steps in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. And I saw thousands, probably, of people swarming the steps. I saw people breaking through the windows. I saw the people starting to bust through the doors. I could see the gallows that had been erected as people were chanting, "Hang Mike Pence." And you stop for a quick second, which feels like an eternity, to think, do we leave or do we stay? Because if we leave, we're safe. We also don't get the story if we don't stay. And we all kind of looked at each other and said, it's not worth it. We need to leave. We've got the vantage point being across the street. We could see the people from the sidewalk in front of our building still busting through and clinging to the walls, but ultimately realized that the story can be told from a safe distance. You don't need to get inside the circle where you don't know what's going to happen next. And still, there were hours and hours that went by. This is only within the first hour and a half that this is all happening.
Over the course of the next several hours, Cecchini files stories by phone or from the Bureau and does live, unscripted reporting hits on radio stations affiliated with Global News, stations across Canada. It's during a live hit on the 6 o'clock news on Global TV in Toronto when the confrontation at the start of this episode happens live on the air.
This day lasted forever, and by the end of the night, you know, I was standing doing a TV hit with Global Toronto, and I was being verbally accosted on the air.
Who do you represent?
That was the most Canadian part of me that could come out, where somebody's trying to come after me, and I remember saying to them, sir, please, like, we can talk after. We're a Canadian network, because I was being yelled at, are you with CNN? Are you with CNN? Are you the fake news? And I disagree 100%. I don't care what news outlet you are. Some of you might be fake news. Let's not use the word fake news. Did I feel like I was being threatened? Yes, absolutely I did. I felt that something was going to go wrong. And again, much like earlier in the day when we decided that we weren't going to be standing at the steps of the US Capitol because we wanted to get out, we made a decision. We packed up the camera. I packed up my mic. I packed up everything. And we went up to the roof of our building because it's secure and people wouldn't be able to get through. But again, you know, it's editorial to say this. I lay the blame on multiple years of a country being told, don't trust the media. And when you do that to enough people, when you bring that kind of an attitude to enough people that will buy into that, it makes it dangerous to do a job that is so vital and so essential.
All of this remains fresh in Cecchini's mind. The incredible events of the day, not just the scene in the streets and watching the assault on the Capitol across from the Global News Bureau, but then seeing elected representatives returning to the Capitol later that night to carry on with certifying the vote, the democratic process that had been interrupted by the assault.
Everything beyond that is hindsight, looking back. Could I have done this? Should I have done this? But you do what you do when you're in the moment. Sometimes there isn't a time to think. And what you get out there, whatever you can get out there, is the most important thing that you can do.
Throughout it all, Cecchini and his colleagues continue to do the most important thing they can do. They send back stories to their newsroom. And those live, unscripted hits and Q&As on radio stations all over Canada, they're the essence of something very important radio reporters must be ready to do today, to go live and tell the story of what is happening around you without a script. That's a focus right now in my second semester radio news classes at Humber. It's all part of the radio news imperative. Get me on the air. This is Crosstalk. I'm Paul Cross. I study and I teach podcasting and radio.